I have loved this series we're doing on mercy and justice. It's one of those, I guess, topics that digs deep into your heart and causes you to self-examine and to have a look at the way we view the world and the way we even, you know, view our own lives in the context of mercy and justice. As we've said numerous times, mercy and justice is one of our core tenets here at Good Life. And it's just been an incredibly rich experience to hear from the different speakers as they've brought their perspective on it. To hear from the, you know, the different stories that we've had. It's just been incredibly rich, and really looking forward today to just try and bring this together as we continue this journey and looking at mercy and justice today. I've had incredible privilege throughout my life to travel a lot. I've been to third world countries, I've been to developing world countries, and I've been to developed world countries. I've seen the good, the beautiful, the incredibly rich, and on the other hand, I've seen the incredibly poor, the heartbreak, and the devastation that can be found in often third world countries. And I guess what that has done is given me a perspective to be able to look at the world maybe through a different lens that I didn't unless I had, you know, visited those places myself. There was one town that I went to. It was not in a developing world. It was in a developed country in Germany. And it's a town called Modelreuth. And this little town, it's just a small country town on the eastern side in Bavaria. And what's special about this particular town is that it was known as Little Berlin. And the reason was that during the, you know, the time of the Berlin Wall, the wall went straight through the middle of this town. And this wall created a divide between families themselves. Some places, people's properties were divided, where they might have had a share home with, you know, extended family living on it, and one part of the family lived on one side and one part of the family lived on the other. To actually think that that happened, you know, even in my lifetime, you know, this was in the 1980s, and it wasn't until the 1990s that that particular wall got torn down. But it created a divide where communities no longer could interact. And the differences between one side of that wall and the other were starkly different. There's no question, and here's the reality, that often where we're born, the way we're raised, the lifestyle we have, our socioeconomic status, our parents, those that we mix with, the climate we might live in, can sometimes create a divide. And often the difference between one side of that divide and the other, again, is just so different. And today we want to have a look at a few of those things and explore this together in a little bit more detail. So let's take a look at some facts around some of the divides that exist in our planet today. Firstly, people who have access to uncontaminated water. So let's use Africa for an example. In Africa, 60% of the population have access to uncontaminated water. The challenge with that is 40% of them don't. Let's compare that to, say, Australia, our own country, where 99% of us have access to clean drinking water. What about clean sanitation? This one is huge. Because people don't have access to clean sanitation, the health effects from that are just so significant. The number of deaths that happen as a result of that are just phenomenal once you start to explore it. But let's look at the country of Somalia, for example. In Somalia, only 14% of the population have access to clean sanitation. Whereas most of us, it's again, something we take for granted. In fact, we fight over toilet paper in shopping centres. 99.8% of people in Japan have access to clean sanitation. This one's a big one for us in Australia. It's on the media so often at the moment. It's physical abuse to women. You see, the divide isn't always just about where you're born. It can be about whether you're born a man or a woman. It can be a whole host of different things. So physical abuse to women. The sad thing about this one is that Australia doesn't do particularly great. But there are still countries that are so much worse. Let's take Egypt, for example. In Egypt, 29% of women are faced with physical abuse. 29%. And you know what's the most damning and saddest part about that? Is a high percentage of them think they deserve it. And then we look at Australia. It's on the press and we see it, and it's a blight on our nation. But 5% of women in our nation come under the abuse, the physical abuse. And then what's sadder about that? If you take a snapshot look at that, at our Indigenous community, that number goes up by 40%. These things aren't right. Let's look at human trafficking. Human trafficking is one of those things for our nation that can feel so far away, but it happens in Australia. It happens in countries all across the world, in fact, every country across the world. And today, there is an estimated over 40 million men, women, and children trapped in the cycle of human trafficking. And if you're a woman, 70% of human trafficking cases are women, and men account for 29%. Let's talk schooling. Schooling is so incredibly important. Statistics will show that if a child can get a good education, it goes such a long way to establishing them for the rest of their lives. In Ethiopia, only 2.7 years of education is what the average child will get. But if you're in Canada, you get 13.3 years of education. There is such a big gap when it comes to education in our world today. Extreme poverty is classified by someone who has to live on under $1.90 a day. Could you imagine, just pause and think for a moment, what it would be like to live on less than $1.90 a day? $58 a month, $708 a year. I just cannot fathom having to live off that. Yet, there are 689 million people on our planet today who live on less than $1.90 a day. If you were born in the Congo, there is 76% of that population who live in extreme poverty, less than $1.90 a day. But for us here in Australia, or if you lived in France, 0% live on less than $1.90 a day. It's just not a thing in so many countries of the world. Homelessness. And this one caught me by surprise a little bit, because we would think that Australia would sit on this side of the divide. But when we compare Australia with the US, Australia actually sits over here, with 47 people for every 10,000 are homeless. But the US, that drops down to 17 people per 10,000. We have a serious problem when it comes per capita in our nation around the number of people who are homeless. It's estimated that 150 million people are homeless in the world today. Now, as bleak as some of these statistics may sound, and it's terrible, the divide that we experience between countries or race or the sex that you were born, it creates such a divide in so many instances. And with all our technology and all our resource, we should be able to solve this problem. And as I said, it's not a great story, but some of these statistics, we're starting to see some really positive change. And here's the thing, there is hope. There is absolutely hope that we can bring an end to some of these things as they stand at the moment. You see, Jesus was all about restoring things back to order. And the exciting thing is, we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of his plan of redemption on this earth. And I want to explore that just a little bit further now. I'm pretty passionate about this whole idea of mercy and justice. And for me, it goes back to one really specific moment in my life when I can recall really, really clearly, where it almost felt like God was speaking to me. If I had to think that God spoke to me tangibly, this would probably be as close as it was. And I was on a plane, and I was traveling to South Africa at the time. And I don't know about you, there's something about planes. I reckon maybe it's the high altitude or whatever. It seems like any movie you watch or anything, you know, you might be reading, it just seems to be so much more powerful, impacting when I'm on a plane. Maybe it's because we stop and actually read or stop and listen in that moment. But on this flight to South Africa, I felt so clearly that God just imparted to me this scripture, a key scripture that has really become, a life verse for me. And it's one that Ryan referred to, and it's one most of us would have heard of, and it's Micah 6:8. It says, "Man, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And that verse has been something that has resonated me from that moment to now, and something that I've tried to live out, to live a life of mercy and justice and humility, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing. And over the past few years, I've actually seen that become more tangible reality and seen real outworkings and expressions of mercy and justice. For me, the mercy side of it comes through some trips I've been able to do with Compassion, and we've talked about those before. And I've seen firsthand the work of this organization, but more than that even is I've seen firsthand mums and dads and families and seen the things that they wrestle with. And there's this one distinct moment when I sat in a lounge room with a mum and a dad, and I sat on their floor with them and just heard his heart. And as I walked out of that house and out of that lounge room, it just was so heavy and impressed upon me that dad, he has the same hopes and dreams that I do as a dad. He has the same hopes and dreams for his kids, that his kids would grow up and they'd find a family of their own. They'd get a job, they'd be able to, do the things that God's called to them. The same things that I want for my kids, this man in Indonesia wants for his kids. And as I sat there on his lounge room floor, just almost the weight of that is something that I'll never, ever forget. As tears rolled down his face and he just explained, how much he loved and wanted for his kids. We had the opportunity then to be with him, to pray with him. And it's given me such a great revelation of what it means to be merciful in those situations, to show acts of kindness. And the things that will never leave me. And then probably for the last 5 years, I've also had this other expression, which probably fits into that kind of justice category, where I've got to work with organizations who fight human trafficking. And I've got to see it firsthand. And about 4 years ago, I went to India. And I saw things I've never seen in my life before. We were with a ministry and we were visiting a project that they were running in a red light district. And we walked into this district and there were people everywhere and these guys were on the ground. They were right in the thick of it. And we went to a brothel and we met the madam of that brothel and she accepted these guys in and she just loved them so much. And it was just beautiful to see the relationship this ministry had with the workers in this place. But I'll never forget the sights that I saw and the experiences and the things I heard. They're etched in my heart and my mind. And what it does, though, is it makes me want to fight even more against this injustice that is happening in the world today. You see, these things aren't right. This is not the way God designed it to be. But there was this beautiful moment that when we left and I walked out of that brothel and came onto the main street and I started getting hassled by a group of guys. And the lady who was with us, who used to be a madam of a brothel, who is now working with this ministry, and God has done incredible work in her life, she walked in and she stepped in with this incredible authority and the guys just, they ran for the hills. But there is this beautiful humility and graciousness. And we got to then go up into this office with the rest of the team and pray with them and hear more of their story. And it just was so evident they were this light in this dark, dark place. I've had the privilege, and I use the word privilege because they're not great things to see, but they've impacted my life. And I've got to see them firsthand. And now that I've seen it, I have to do something about it. I can't just turn my back on it. I have to be about fighting these injustices. I have to be about caring for those and giving where I can. And it's not just about resource and finance. It's about time. It's about, we talk about letter writing. It's all those kinds of things. That's my expression of mercy, of justice. And that's what God's done in my life over these past few years. And it truly is starting to shape who I am and something I'm so incredibly passionate about. So let's look at Jesus. What's Jesus' expression? Mercy and justice. It isn't just what Jesus does, but mercy and justice is who Jesus is. See, the challenge for me in thinking through this message, it's not so much about, you know, what necessarily to say, it's been more about what to leave out. Because as you read the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, there are so many examples of where, you know, Jesus himself in the New Testament enacts these acts of mercy and justice. You know, he cared for the oppressed. He lifted up the brokenhearted. He healed the sick. He made the blind see. He fought for women. And he challenged the leaders and the rulers of the time to give to the poor. I love the conversation we had last week where we had our panel. And I love what Stu and Mark touched on, where Jesus on the cross is the perfect illustration of what mercy and justice is about. You see, there had to be justice. There had to be a payment for our sin, and that was born on the cross. But then he inflicted it on himself. He didn't throw that onto us, and that's the mercy act of it. The cross, it's this illustration of mercy and justice. I would encourage you to watch it if you didn't watch last week, and check out the panel. There were some amazing things that we talked about. You see, because mercy and justice, that's who Jesus is. I want to share just a couple of scriptures where it looks at how Jesus enacted mercy and justice in his time. And the first one, you know, Jesus returning to Nazareth. So it's his hometown where he grew up. And by this time, he's starting to get a bit of celebrity status. And we're going to read in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And he's gone to the synagogue. And he's handed a scroll. And Jesus opens the scroll. It's the scroll of Isaiah. And he reads this. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. "The scripture you have heard has been fulfilled this very day." So Jesus himself, he came to fulfill this scripture, to be mercy and justice, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the oppressed free. Then again, we read in another story where Jesus had just appointed Matthew as his disciple, Matthew the tax collector. And Matthew and a few others had gone to Matthew's house for dinner, and there were some Pharisees there as well. And the Pharisees lean across to Matthew and ask him this question. They say, what is your leader, you know, interact with the outcasts? When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." And then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." In Matthew 9, 12 and 13. I encourage you to have a closer look at Matthew chapter 9. In that chapter alone, there's just all these accounts where Jesus time and time again goes and shows these acts of kindness, acts of mercy, where he heals the paralyzed man, he heals the woman with the issue of blood, he raises a church leader's daughter from the dead, he heals two blind men, delivers a demon-possessed man. Jesus is mercy and justice. And while we're talking about justice, I think it's really important that we understand how Jesus took it and how he approached it. You see, whenever justice was about somebody else and the injustices that were done to them, Jesus would fight for it. He'd fight to set things right. But when it came to injustices done against himself, Jesus did something incredibly radical. You see, back in the time, everyone would have been familiar with the scripture, an eye for an eye. But Jesus turned that table on his head and said, "No, when the injustice is against me, I want you to turn the other cheek. If someone asks for your shirt, give them your coat as well. If someone asks you to walk a mile, walk two. Jesus went above and beyond. So when justice was about others, he fought. But when it was about him, he left it to the Father to deal with. If mercy and justice is who Jesus is, and we're called to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, then mercy and justice is something that needs to be embedded into who we are. You see, as followers of Jesus, mercy and justice is a non-negotiable. Pursuing mercy and justice may look completely different for each of us. What it looks like for me may be different to what it looks like for you. I love the story of Moses. Here God has asked this man Moses to come and right some of the wrongs, to right the injustices that had been done against his own children, the children of Israel, by Egypt. And Moses says to him, he says, "Who am I?" And God doesn't reassure him or, you know, saying, "Hey, you've got a good plan, you know, go ahead," or, "Hey, I've given you all the gifts and the abilities to do what I want you to do." He simply says, "I am with you. I am with you." And I guess that's something we can take heart in. We may not have all the answers to how we're going to, you know, rid the injustices of the world. But if we're willing to walk and be obedient, we can have absolute confidence that he is with us. And we'll establish our paths as we move forward. I want to read another scripture. It's a scripture that has become really foundational for me as I've journeyed this walk and whole area of mercy and justice. And it's found in Isaiah 58. And it says this: "No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from your relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. And then when you call, the Lord will answer, 'Yes, I'm here.' He will quickly reply, 'Remove the yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. And you'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. And some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and then you will be known as rebuilder of walls and restorer of homes." There's three things I want to finish on. Three things I think we can grab hold of that I talk to at the end of this scripture and how we approach mercy and justice. And the first one of those is found in verse 11. It says, "Then your light will shine in the darkness." For us as followers of Jesus, we need to let our light shine. We need to let our light shine. You see, the world is full of dark places, and we are God's plan to bring light into those dark places. And we read that story, you know, where Jesus talks in Matthew 5 about the city, you know, light on a hill. We are to let our light shine. In Galatians 6, 9 and 10, it's a scripture which we've been spoken about many times here at Good Life. It tells us to not grow weary of doing good. You see, it's not an easy journey when we talk about things like mercy and justice. It takes perseverance, it takes a whole lot of energy, and it takes a whole lot of resilience to keep moving. But I implore us, let's not get weary of it. Let's just keep doing good. There's a great scripture which has popped up in my daily readings this past week, and it's in 2 Peter 1, 3, and I won't even read the whole thing, but it just says that God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And I think it applies in this situation, that he will give us everything we need to go about doing the work that he's called us to. We just have to keep moving forward. And the third thing comes from verse 12 in that Isaiah 58, where it talks about this idea of being a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. And I absolutely love this idea. Because what's a wall represent? A wall represents security. It's the boundaries, it's the safety, it's the protection. What does it look like for us to be rebuilders of the walls for those that we come in contact with, to provide a safe place for them to take refuge? And what does it mean to be a restorer of homes? Again, what does a home represent? A home represents safety, a place of belonging, a place of rest, a place of peace, a place you can take shelter from the storm. So as followers of Jesus, can we be rebuilders of walls and restorers of homes? The world is desperate. It's desperate for a people, for men and women who are surrendered to the call of God in their lives, to rid the world of injustice, to be agents of mercy wherever they find themselves. And just like Moses, who didn't quite feel up to the task, we can be confident that God will be with us. For us in our nation, we have so much. And to whom much is given, much is required. And we read in Luke chapter 12, I love the Message translation, says, great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts mean greater responsibilities. So I encourage you, let your light shine. Do good. And let us be rebuilders and restorers as we go about doing the things that God's called us to. We're going to go into a song right now. And I'd ask you just to use this song as a time to reflect on some of the things we've maybe talked about. And what's God saying to you in this moment? What's your expression of mercy and justice? Because I believe we all have one to play. But I'd just love to pray for you before we go into that. Father, I want to thank you for our time together here today. I thank you for the way that you've revealed your heart for people through even some of the scriptures we've read. But Lord, I thank you that you are mercy and justice incarnate. You have come and you've shown us the way we should live. And Lord, it feels like such a big thing and even overwhelming. And you know, even as we look to some of the statistics around the globe at the moment, it can just feel so overwhelming. But Lord, we know that you want to move sovereignly, that you came to break down the dividing walls. And Lord, I just thank you so much that we get to be a part of this restorative work that you're doing on the earth. So Father, in these moments now, I just pray that you'd speak to us. Put things in our heart, you know, really tangible things that we might grab hold of and run forward into. And Lord, just continue to reveal yourself in deeper levels. We ask these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen.